Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome to another edition of I Won't Stop Until I Win. I am your host, Jose Flores, and each week I'll be sharing inspiring stories of people who push through the pain, who overcome adversity, and who keep on running their race to become the winners they are today. So thank you for spending some time with me, and let's jump right into the show. Hey, what's going on, family? Thanks again for tuning in for another week of I Won't Stop Until I Win. And as you guys know, before I start every episode, I always like to take a few moments to give God some thanks because I believe that without him, none of this would be possible. So I just pray that somebody out there that's listening is motivated, encouraged, inspired to not only learn more and do more, but to become more. And that you can use some of these nuggets here today that we're going to be applying with my special guest and apply them to your life. I pray that in Jesus' name. And like I said, thanks for hanging out with me. Listen, guys, you always know I bring the fire for you guys. Today's guest is no less than fire also. He's a Hall of Famer speaker, former NBA player, and expert coach who empowers you to stop negative habits in their tracks, rocket past challenges, and unleash your greatest potential. Ladies and gentlemen, my boy, my brother, Walter Bond. How are you doing, my brother? Welcome to the show.
Hey, fantastic, man. You said the name Jesus, brother. That's all I needed to hear. I'm ready to do what it do. Let's go, man. Let's go.
That's right, man. I'm on that type of energy, brother. But listen, man, I know for a lot of people listening, some of them may know who you are. Some of them may not know who you are. But I know that you've been doing a lot of powerful things the last couple decades, making some massive impact all over the globe. And, you know, when you reach a certain level of success, like the type that you've reached in your life, a lot of times people will look at, you know, people like you and say, wow, how did he get there? You know, how did he do this? How did he do that? So before we get into all this cool stuff you're doing now and recently, take people back to the old Walter Bond before all this massive success and just kind of build it up, you know, build the story up to how you overcame some challenges, some mindsets, some limiting beliefs, and you were able to start winning in your own lane.
You know, Jose, I'm glad you asked the question the way you asked it, because a lot of times people see you playing in the NBA, you know, they see you speaking in these large convention halls. You know, I spoke in front of 25,000 people before. Wow. A lot of times they can't relate with you because they just assume that your whole life has been a crystal staircase. So your whole life has just been, you know, just from day one, it's just been perfect. And that's not the case. I mean, I basically flunked out of my first high school. You know, when I played college ball, I didn't start. I came off the bench. So the success I'm having now is the reward of me fighting through myself.
That's right.
It's the reward of me getting out of my own way, you know. I mean, it's the reward of me getting my mindset right. You know, we talk about the shark mindset because when I was young, things were going along pretty good. My parents were educators. My dad was a high school principal. My mom was a teacher. You know, I came from that family, you know. Mom and dad are there. You did your homework. Wasn't no talking back. You know, we went to church on Sunday. We were that family. And then life happened. Right. And I was pretty much a star until I flunked out of my first high school.
Wow.
And that's when my own personal adversity began to hit. Now, I did go to a top academic school. It was rigorous. But at the end of the day, I failed. You know, my dad looked at me one day and he was like, look, man, you got a 2.2 GPA. This is not a good fit. We got to make a move. So that was my first chance of like failing. And it was devastating to me. And my dad was a high school principal, and he always worked in the hood.
Now, let me ask you this, bro. Before you go on, let me ask you this. When that was in your first experience of failing, how did that make you feel, and what was your mindset? Like, did you feel you let your parents down? Did you feel you let yourself down? What was that mindset, and how did you overcome that?
All of the above. I mean, when your parents are teachers, you're supposed to be a good student. You know, when your parents are educators, you're supposed to represent that kid. And my brother and sister did. I'm the youngest. You know, my brother and sister were good students. They had good grades. They went to this high school and thrived. Me, I went to the same high school. It's called Whitney Young in Chicago. And again, I did great socially. I did great athletically. But academically, I failed big time. And I transferred to my dad's high school. And that's when my life changed. You know, my dad became my high school principal. and eventually my favorite teacher, because every day when the bell would ring, Jose, he would come into the hallway. Now, we're in the hood now. Now, my first high school, we wore penny loafers and polo shirts. And when I went to my dad's school, it was in the hood. Now, good people, but just it was just in poverty. It was poverty stricken. And I was the principal's son. And a lot of people didn't know why I was there. A lot of people thought I was coming because I was a high school basketball star, in which I was on the court. But I really was there in large part because of my academics. And I needed to get myself together. And every day, my dad would just talk to me. So to answer your question, I was embarrassed. I was ashamed. A lot of my friends in my other high school didn't know why I really left. They thought I left to go play on a big-time high school team, and that was part of it. But I needed to go and raise my GPA and get serious about school. But every day, my dad would talk to me, and he would help me with my mindset. And that's why I do so many motivational audios on YouTube. If you haven't seen Shark Mindset, you got to go download it. We've had over 3 million views on my video called The Shark Mindset, where I talk about, you know, the relationship I had with my dad and really how he helped me think differently. And he said, this family produces student athletes. I had the athletic part right, but I didn't have the vision for academics. And literally, by spending time with him every day, he helped me with my mindset. And this is what he would say, Jose, which is, since chills up my bones. When the bell would ring, he would come into the hallway and he would chase us to class. He would say, hey, hey, young lady, where are you supposed to be? Where are you supposed to be? The bell's ringing. Where are you supposed to be? So it became a metaphor for me that the bell is ringing. Where are you supposed to be? And every day my dad would have me write my goals down about what I wanted to do with my life. And he would make me look at them every single day. And so I would hear that bell. Where are you supposed to be? Where are you supposed to be? Where are you supposed to be? And honestly, playing in the NBA was a goal. And that's where I'm supposed to be. You know, being an award-winning Hall of Fame motivational speaker, that's where I'm supposed to be. You know, so we created the whole brand around the Shark Mindset because we're teaching people through their mindset. We're going to help you get to where you're supposed to be. I failed. I struggled. And it didn't stop after high school. I thought I had it together. Now I got good grades. I'm a high school basketball star. And adversity hit me again in college. I'm sitting on the bench. I'm like, man, how am I going to make it to the NBA? And I'm sitting on the bench. But again, it got back to my mindset. And I called home, and my old man, now he's preaching to me on the phone, basically. And he goes, why didn't you play? And I was like, politics, Dad. It's political. I had all these excuses. And he was like, look, man, I ain't trying to hear no excuses. Are you working hard? Are you staying after practice? House school? Man, take your goals out and look at them every day. And Jose, that conversation got me back on my square. I went to my coach's office and basically was like, what do I need to do to play in the NBA? Because I understood transformation, right? I understood it. You can't transform. You can't go from a 2.2 to a 2.9. I tried to get to a 3.0. It was mathematically impossible. And so I knew that you could transform. So I went to my coach and I said, Coach, what do I need to do to play in the NBA? I mean, his first reaction, he laughed. And he was like, son, you don't play for me, right? And so it's people out here got dreams and hopes. And sometimes everybody's not going to believe in it with you. Right? And he was like, son, you don't play for me. And I was like, I'm no coach, but I'm going to become somebody different. Tell me what I need to do. Who do I need to become? He was like, you can't run, you can't jump, you can't dribble, you can't shoot, you can't rebound. But this offseason, you got to work. And I went from being a complainer, and I got into action. You know, and that's why we love sharks, because sharks never stop moving or they die. And that's what we teach through the shark mindset. My father taught me probably how to keep moving forward. Good coaches, good mentors, you know, motivational speakers like you, Jose, you teach people how to keep moving forward, right? And I went to my coach, he told me what I needed to work on. And in my off season, I got back in lab. In my off season, I got to work and I got back on this transformation plan, right? But it started in my mind first. I had all these excuses when I had a 2.2. I had all these excuses when I was sitting on the bench. So again, when people see me, you know, playing in the NBA, I put a highlight on social media yesterday where I scored on Michael Jordan. You know, everybody's like, oh, man. They don't know the journey it took to get there, right? And they don't understand I'm a best-selling author now with a book called Slim, but they don't understand what it took to get here. So now,
let me ask you this question, because I know you said that it all started in the mind. What were some practical things for people, for the audience that's listening? What were some of the things that you actually did practically, or what were some of the things that you would tell yourself to push yourself to go beyond the current limits that you were facing?
You know, one is work ethic. I mean, most people can start right there, which is outworking people. You know, you might be a manager at a fast food joint. You might be in school. Just outwork everybody. I mean, that's what Michael Jordan did. He just outworked everybody, and he was talented. Kobe just outworked everybody, and they were talented. You know, I just began to work. You know, I didn't have the same talent that these guys have. You know, LeBron is incredibly talented. Are you kidding me? But he also works hard. So to me, there's no substitute for working hard. I don't care how much talent you got. My first mindset shift was working hard in the classroom.
So you just told yourself I'm not like to work in all areas.
That's right. You know, a lot of guys, you know, growing up, you're from New York, I'm from Chicago. A lot of guys work really hard trying to pick up girls. They work really hard at it. And most of them who was really hard at it, they got good at it. Even if the girls were ugly, right? It didn't matter. But they worked hard at it, right? So anything you want to be good at, work hard at it. You know, somebody hit me up on Instagram yesterday and says, I want to play in the Olympics. What should I do? Work hard at it. That's the first shift. And that's when we talk about sharks. Sharks are in constant motion. They outwork every other fish in the ocean. And that's why they run the ocean. Why? Because they outwork everybody. So for me, that's 50% of the battle is outworking everybody. Another thing we teach is being positive. There's absolutely no benefit to being negative or critical or losing hope or losing confidence. You know, right now we're dealing with the quarantine and coronavirus. You know what? I'm going to be better when this is over. I'm going to be better when this is over. I'm in the lab right now creating stuff. When this is over, I'm going to be better, right? And that's my attitude. That's my mindset. I'm doing more podcasts. We got coaching programs. We're doing all kind of cool stuff now I always wanted to get to, but I never had the time because I was on the road so hard grinding. So the coronavirus is a blessing. Even the Bible says all things work for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. The coronavirus will be a blessing. I read the Bible today. You know that Joseph prospered in a famine?
That's right.
Joseph prospered in a famine. Right now, the recession is here. Okay? America's devastated. In fact, the whole globe's economy is devastated. So Joseph can prosper in a famine. Why not me?
That's right.
God didn't love him any more than he loves me. So anybody listening, you should be prospering or positioning yourself to prosper right now.
That's right. That's right. There you have it, folks. That's that mind, that shark mindset, always moving, even during the famine. This is a modern day famine. You know, metaphorically speaking, but it's actually, you know, people are losing their jobs, businesses are closing, hours are getting cut short. And like Walter said, man, what are you doing so that you can come out of this on the other side, winning and prosperous and making moves, right? He's in the lab, he's doing his thing, he's putting together products, he's creating new services, he's using the time that he didn't have from traveling. It's like God said, look, listen, you're always saying you don't got time for this, you don't got time for that. I'm going to give everybody time to catch up on what they need to catch up on. And if you don't make it after this, that's your own fault.
Oh, you said a mouthful, because the worst thing you can do right now is nothing.
Exactly.
The people who are waiting for this to end and looking at the news every day, well, do they have a vaccine? You know, what's the... Man, no, I'm grinding. I watch a little bit of the news. I wash my hands. I get in the lab and I work. I watch a little bit of the news, wash my hands, get in the lab, and I work. And that's how you take advantage of a situation like this. It's like God has given the whole world a chance to take an off season. Think about it. Everything's shut down. The whole world is getting reset. So this is a great chance for you to have an off season. You might have a job. Why not have a purpose? Can we talk about that for a moment?
Yeah, let's talk about that.
You've been hating your job for 20 years. You hate your boss. You think you're overqualified. You think your boss is an idiot. And you sitting at home watching Netflix all day? You sitting at home getting caught up on Lords of the Rings? That stuff is make-believe. It's not even real. Your bills are real. Your mortgage is real. Them car notes are real. Take advantage of this opportunity. And make sure that you're working at your work and find your purpose. I tell my audience, Jose, and I want everybody to hear me clearly. Before you even decide a career, you first must discover your gift.
That's right.
A lot of people just have jobs and they're unhappy because they don't have their gift operating in the context of their work. I don't work. I just let my gift work. That's right. While Jamon's not working, my gift is working.
I like to say a lot of people have jobs, but they don't have any joy.
Boom, boy, you preaching right now. And it's true because think about it, Jose. I got spoiled. I got to play basketball and made big money until I was 31 years old. Think about it. The park over broken glass, drug dealers, winos. I remember going to gyms paying $2 just to play every day like a dope fiend, right? I would play basketball like an addict. And you gonna pay me to play until I was 31? When I retired from playing ball, Jose, my biggest prayer to the Lord was, God, what can I find to do that I love as much as playing basketball? It wasn't even about the money. I literally got on my knees and prayed, and I was like, Lord, what can I do with the rest of my life that I love as much as playing basketball? And someone handed me a microphone. And literally the rest is history because I love motivating and inspiring. I love coaches. I got CEOs calling me of major brands. I sit on corporate boards. I flunked out of my first high school. Now I'm on a corporate board. People pay me to sit in on meetings and think with them and help them strategize with them, help them come up with problem-solving ideas with them. That's right. I'm a guy who flunked out of his first high school, but I transformed my mindset. And that's why the shark mindset is so important. That's why we have an action plan. We're literally helping people transform their mind. Because if you don't get this right, and there's some people right now that got a 2.2 in life. Ooh! It's one thing to get into school. Whole other ball game to have a 2.2 in life. Yeah. We get students in life, but it starts right here in the mind.
Now let's shift, because I know you've been mentioning the shark mindset a couple times now. Let's shift into that and tell us a little bit about this. I know you have an extensive, great program called the Shark Mindset. I know you have the book that goes with it. Tell us a little bit about that and let's go a little deep on that.
Yeah, well, we wrote a book called Swim. And again, Jose, this was organic. I went fishing down here in Florida and I caught a suckerfish. And the suckerfish was an ugly looking fish. And I'm pretty simple. And I take a captain with me because I'm a Midwest guy. I don't mess with that ocean. I need somebody in that boat that knows what they're doing. And so I said, can we eat it? He goes, no, but watch this. Jose, he takes the fish and he sticks it on the top of the boat. And this fish had a suction on the top of his head. And it was up there for about 3 minutes. And I kept fishing. And after a while, I asked the captain, like, one, we need to get this fish in the water. And two, tell me about this fish. He says, Walter, it's a suckerfish. Listen to me. It's a suckerfish. I'm about to say something. He says, it's a suckerfish. And the suckerfish is flailing in the ocean, waiting for a shark to come by. And when the shark comes by, it uses its only resource, that suction, to connect to the shark. Man, I dropped my fishing pole, and I was like, dude, you got to keep talking to me. He says, well, suckerfish, when they connect to a shark, the shark can take the suckerfish deep into the ocean. The suckerfish gets to conserve energy. The suckerfish gets to eat scraps every time a shark makes a kill. And I was like, oh! All of a sudden, I thought mentorship. All of a sudden, I thought coaching. And all of a sudden, I thought about my dad.
Wow.
I was a suckerfish. And he was my shark. Wow. I thought about my college basketball coach. I was a suckerfish. And he became my shark. Wow. From the book Swim we wrote is a parable, and we teach people how to be a shark through the sacred six. Oh, my God. We got six principles. If you execute these six principles, you will be a shark. And what is a shark? A shark is a boss. A shark runs stuff. If you take your family to the beach, there's only one fish you worry about. You don't worry about no yellowtail. You don't worry about a red snapper. You gonna tell your kids, be careful, because there's sharks out there. Because when you get tangled up with a shark, they leave a mark, right? And so we wrote this book, Swim. In 9 months, it's a bestseller. People talk bestseller. We sold 10,000 books in 9 months. And I got business leaders calling me, saying, Walter, why am I reading this book crying? Because I'm teaching them, like, man, you're not a real shark until you take somebody with you. Yeah, you're making money. Yeah, you're getting yours. But you're not a real shark in my book until you take somebody with you. How many people have you mentored? How many people have you coached? How many people have you elevated to star status? You want to talk about a superstar in the NBA? Michael Jordan was a superstar because he made his teammates better. Right? Until you make Magic Johnson made his teammates better. LeBron makes his teammates better. And that's when you're a real star. So these business leaders read the book and they're in tears because they look back over their career and, yeah, I'm making the money. I drive the nice cars. But I don't have any track record of people that I lifted up, that I mentored, that I coached. And that's why they get emotional. Because at the end of the day, they realize that there's a shark, there's a suckerfish, and Jose, there's always a parasite. And a suckerfish has one job. A shark understands they need a teammate because parasites attack sharks. And a suckerfish, in exchange for these free rides in the ocean, in exchange for these free meals, they got one job, to eat the parasite.
Wow.
Shark clean. And that's the gospel message. Because God is, Jesus Christ is the shark. The body of Christ are the suckerfish, and the devil is the parasite.
Wow, God gave you a powerful revelation with that one, my brother. Man, that thing is powerful.
Dude, organic, and I'm telling you, people say, how'd you come up with it? I was like, man, it was God. It was
a divine revelation.
I went fishing and came home with a best-selling book.
That's crazy.
And that's when I knew it was God. Just dropped it in my spirit, and it's written as a parable. And Mark Victor Hansen, who wrote Chicken Soup for Your Soul, the first time he heard me speak about the shark and the suckerfish and the parasite was on stage in front of 3,000 people. He was a fellow keynote speaker at the same conference. Jose, when I came backstage, Mark Victor Hansen from Chicken Soup for Your Soul, him and his wife hugged me and says, Walter, first of all, you are extremely talented, but you've got a best-selling book. You got to write this book. And I'll help you. You know what I told him, Jose?
What?
Mark Victor Hansen, Chicken Soup for Your Soul. I said, Mark Victor Hansen, you just met a 6'5", 300-pound suckerfish. Will you be my mentor? Will you coach me on how to be a best-selling author? That's different than being a speaker. I'm a Hall of Fame speaker. But being a great author, that's who you are, Mark Victor Hansen. And I humbled myself. And I said, will you mentor me? So right now, Mark Victor Hansen, you are the shark. And right now, I'm a suckerfish. So throughout our day, we should always be a shark. But we need to know when to humble ourselves in front of a shark and become a suckerfish. Mm-hmm. But no matter what, we should never be a parasite.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's powerful. That's the same thing that I did with Les Brown, man. That's how I was able to, you know, get Les Brown to write the forward to my book. Because like you said, he was a shark and I was a suckerfish. But you know, when you hear the word suckerfish, it automatically people probably think like, oh, I ain't no sucker, you know? But the way you break it down, man, there's so many principles. Listen, if you guys are listening, you need to go and get this book because there's so many principles that come off of this book, Swim. You know, you have the whole analogy of being the shark, being the boss, you know, being aggressive, making the moves, making the decisions, going where you want to go, where you whenever you want to, with who you want to, right? And then that whole mentorship analogy of the suckerfish and not only the mentorship, but the teamwork analogy that goes along with it. So that's why you're blowing up, brother, in the corporate sector and churches, on stages, everywhere you go, man, because that's a powerful analogy and parable of the book Swim, man.
You know, let me speak to that because you just brought up a great point. Before you can become a shark, you got to be a suckerfish. Mm-hmm. Before you can become a shark, you gotta be a suckerfish. All studies show that we all need mentors and coaches in order to be successful. You hear people say all the time, I don't need nobody. Well, who taught you how to read? Who taught you how to count? Who taught me how to play basketball? What do you mean you don't need a, you can't be a suckerfish, you're a fool.
Yep.
Right? I'm a big success now because I was willing to be a suckerfish.
Mm-hmm. In order to be a leader, you got to be a follower.
Man, you remember when Scottie Pippen first got to the Chicago Bulls? Here's a guy who's extremely talented.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have the confidence that you need to be a Hall of Fame player.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And in that context, him being around Michael Jordan and watching this shark operate did nothing but benefit Scottie Pippen.
That's right.
Until he became a great player. But also, Michael Jordan didn't win crap until Scottie showed up. Mm-hmm. So to me, a shark needs a suckerfish, and a suckerfish needs a shark. That's I'm going to say it one more time. A shark needs a suckerfish, and a suckerfish needs a shark. And so when people read the book Swim, my business leaders are blown away, and we changed the whole paradigm on how they lead. But more importantly, we also touch their employees, because we can teach your employees how to be successful through our Sacred Six. And number one, the sharks never stop moving or they die. So coronavirus, I don't stop moving. Why? I'm a shark. I ain't sitting around watching Netflix. That's catching up on Hula. What? I'm going to let my kids do that. I'm a grown man. I'm in the lab grinding. Why? Because I'm a freaking shark. And I'm telling you, sharks grow a foot a year. Do you know that? Man, I can break this thing down. You know, some sharks can operate in salt water and fresh water. I mean, there's like 1,000 species of sharks. We got to help you figure out what kind of shark you are. Because once you understand your game, now you can elevate and operate in the context of the gift that God gave you. I couldn't be Michael Jordan. I didn't have his gift, but I could be Walter Byrne. I can't be Les Brown. I'm gifted differently, but I can be Walter Byrne. That's God's right. Given everybody their own individual gift and skill sets. And you got to understand your purpose. And there's no better time than now. There's no better time than now. And here's my final thought. And I'm going to break this all the way down. Not only do sharks never stop moving. Not only do sharks only look up, they never look down. I know people who swim with sharks. And they swim with sharks because they understand. If I stay beneath the shark didn't even notice me. Because sharks don't deal with heavy stuff. Mm. They don't deal with stuff that's too small for them, that's beneath them. But sharks are made of cartilage. Woo! So they know when to pivot. They know when to change. They know when to shift. You ever meet someone and say, man, it's just how I am?
Yeah.
And nobody gonna change me. Oh. So you gonna act like this the rest of your life. You gonna think like this. The rest of you mean to tell me you are 19 years old and you are stuck in your ways and you ain't gonna grow at all the rest of your life? Sharks grow a foot a year. Mm. If you wanna make $100,000, you gotta become $100,000 person. If you wanna make $1 million, you gotta become $1 million kind of person. I live in a neighborhood with 9 billionaires. 9 billionaires. And I sit down and talk to them, and I'm so humble. Cause I'm over here with my luxury cars and I got a nice crib. But I'm like, man, this billionaire at a whole nother level mentally. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my God, how do you become a billionaire? And one of the guys taught me. His name's Marvin. He's the largest landowner in Long Island. He became my buddy. He just passed away. He says, Walter, I make money when the stock market is up. I make money when the stock market is down. Mm-hmm. No matter what, I make money. And that's what he said. I'll teach you if you want me. A shark. That's a guy who's figured out through some gift he has from God how to prosper, and he's willing to teach, he's willing to share. So Jose, I just respect you because you're a shark. You never stop moving. No matter what comes your way, you don't stop moving. No matter what setbacks, you don't stop moving. That's a shark, baby.
Yeah,
I don't care how tall a shark is. I don't care how high a shark comes in all shapes and sizes. And as long as you never stop moving forward in my book, you're a shark.
That's right. And you know, another thing about sharks too that's phenomenal, bro, is that they don't swim backwards.
Or they drown.
That's a whole subject, man. So no matter what you did in your past, no matter what mistakes you've made, you don't got to look backwards, man. Only forward. Forward movement only, baby.
And here's what a lot of people struggle with. And this is why mindset is so important. Is that sometimes people can't forgive themselves. You know, it's one thing. I used to go into prisons and drug rehabs and halfway homes. And I picked up on this a long time ago when I began to coach people who were really struggling. I mean, just couldn't even get up and go work. I mean, just couldn't function without alcohol or drugs. And the real issue is they can't forgive themselves. I mean, their mama done forgave them. Their family done forgave them. Their kids have forgiven them. But when you can't forgive you, you're stuck. And the first thing I want to speak to anybody out here today that's crippled by anything emotionally, forgive yourself. You know, if you did anything wrong, anything illegal, if you did anything immoral, just forgive you. And the Bible says to repent, right? Walk away from your sin. Don't do it anymore, and God will forget. But if there's cherished sin in your heart, if you're committed to keep doing this evil thing, that's the only way God can help you, because God will forgive anybody who truly repents of their sin, which really just means turn away from it, and you got to renew your mind and think differently, right? And that's what happens at every level. You get off drugs because you think differently. You get promoted because you think differently. I didn't get out of 2.2 GPA until I thought differently.
That's right.
I began to enjoy homework. I began to enjoy school. When I got to college, I attacked school. I graduated in 4 years. And my dad was right. This family produces student athletes. And my mindset was all about sports. And he helped me get my value system together. And now I'm writing books. And I was sitting on corporate boards, the guy who flunked out of, I had to forgive me. And I never told a lot of my friends why I transferred. At 51, my friends are just now figuring out why I transferred. A lot of people thought it was only basketball reasons. But the biggest reason I transferred was because I basically flunked out of my first high school. Mm. I can talk about it now because I landed on my feet. But you know what? I knew the truth way back in the day. But I failed. But I had to forgive me first.
Yeah. That's powerful, man. Well, listen, man, I know that you're a busy man, so I don't want to take too much of your time up during the day, but how can people learn more about Walter Bond? How can people buy the book? Where can they go? Website, social media? Let them know where they can find you.
Simple. Everything is housed at our website, walterbond.com. You can buy the book. You can get some gear. If you like the shark mindset, get you some gear. But most importantly, I got something free. If you go to walterbond.com, download the Shark Mindset Action Plan. We are changing, and it appeals to everybody, right? Download the Shark Mindset Action Plan. It's free, right? Because I'm trying to take as many people as I can with me, right? I want to be this great white shark now, because I've been a suckerfish for so long. Now I want to be a great white. The first question on the action plan is, how do you respond to crisis? We created this question way before the coronavirus. You want to talk about God being involved? How do you respond to crisis? Guess what? We're in a crisis right now.
That's right.
How do you respond? Netflix? Is that how you respond? Really? Laying on the couch? Really? That's how you respond. Are you in the laboratory figuring out your purpose?
That's right.
Are you in the laboratory building your side hustle? Come on.
That's right.
You're a boss. You're supposed to be fruitful. You're supposed to multiply. You're supposed to have dominion. You're not dominating. Something's not right with your mindset.
That's right.
If your tree is not producing figs, I want to preach right now. Remember when Jesus saw that fig tree and it wasn't producing figs? Jesus got angry. Mm-hmm. You know why he got angry? Because he knew the character of the fig tree. And he knew the fig tree was capable of producing figs. And so when God sees a person made in his image, made in his likeness, he gets angry because you're made in my image. Mm-hmm. You ain't supposed to be drunk. Mm-hmm. You made in my image. You ain't supposed to be homeless. You're made in my image and in my likeness. You're supposed to be producing.
That's right.
And if you're not producing, we got to get back to our mindset.
That's
because
right.
If your mind is right, that's when you begin to produce. So walterbond.com, download the free Shark Mindset Action Plan. Get you a book, get you some gear, and join the movement.
At the end of the day, guys, to wrap up what Walter Bond is saying, you got to be fruitful and multiply. And it starts with a mindset. It starts with a change of a mindset. And once you can do that, you can do anything. So go ahead, go to walterbond.com, download the action plan guide, get the book, see what he's all about, join the movement, and we'll see you at the top. Take care. Thanks a lot for listening again this week, guys, and God bless. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to this episode of I Won't Stop Until I Win. Once again, I am your host, Jose Flores, and make sure you visit me at joseinspires360.com, where you'll see links to all my social media, where I'm bringing content like this every single day on how you can win and keep on winning. We have new episodes dropping every week, so make sure you guys like, subscribe, and share with other winners so that everyone can keep up with what's going on. Once again, I appreciate you tuning in, and we'll catch you on the next episode of I Won't Stop Until I Win.